Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark. How you doing, man? You all right?
Good, good. It's a good episode to come in on, isn't it?
It's a good episode.
Yeah, if this is your first time, this is going to be good.
I've just noticed that, like, the thing that I've got, like, you know, we finished with a little Rey Mysterio dressed as Heath Ledger, the deceased actor. And the next thing I've got up is a load of Randy Orton erotic stories that I found online. Do you want a cheeky one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is, I think you call it slasher fiction, don't you?
Slash fiction.
Slash fiction, yeah. Where people just write erotic stories about public figures.
Yeah. I mean, there are
Randy Orton, sorry. Or anyone, really, or anyone. As Randy Orton saw the mystical John Cena go down, he cried in the inside, but not on the out. He grabs John Cena's hand and kisses it, just like his mother did to him when he was little. Wait, that wasn't John Cena that Randy just kissed. It was his sister that looked like a buff boy. Just confusing. Right, just what? This was ranked 600 in the John Cena stories.
I like the whole thing about slash fiction is I don't necessarily suddenly want Randy Orton to be remembering like tender moments with his mum.
Yep.
Just bone each other.
Randy Orton jumped back on his boat and all of his henchmen were taken out by none other than music players. And his name is John Cena. Bam, pow is the sound that John Cena's mouth makes while he's giving Randy Orton a nuggy. But then the sky started storming. As Batman did dual team takedown with John Cena on Randy Orton. Therefore, Randy Orton is now in jail for murdering his own sister with a trial forever. And John Cena lived happily ever after with Batman. 600. 600 that was.
I do think there's something a little bit believable about it because Randy Orton is a former Marine and John Cena, he loves
pretending he's
he
a Marine.
Loves
yes.
the army.
Perfect.
We might talk a little bit later about Sergeant Slaughter's stolen valor.
Okay, lovely job.
That seems like an obvious thing. You're like, well, of course it's stolen valor. But he also,
you do know how deep it goes.
He also sort of got, exactly, you know. He's like, well, if I separate myself from the character, the inspiration came from, naughty. So naughty. Naughtier than Batman and John Cena. Naughty. I said you were in for a treat today. I mean, I may have got that wrong if this is your first listen. But we are going to be talking about the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Yes.
I think you know there's something to be said that some people will disagree with this. Some people will say that the match that Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had the following year, which was Michaels's a retirement match until some ill-advised return in Saudi Arabia, is the better of the two. It is not. It just isn't. This one came with a fair amount of hype, but nobody knew what this match was going to be.
Right.
And it became something so special. And it became something so special for a number of reasons. I've been reading quite a lot about this, and there's some weird sort of people who are influenced by Roland Barthes and the theories of wrestling. And I was reading a lot of this, and they use this match as a good example, because in some ways this is a very simplistic match. This match could have happened at any point in wrestling's history, because you've got, if you like, a good guy who is represented by Shawn Michaels, who comes in, he's a born-again Christian, comes in white, comes down from heaven, versus The Undertaker, the personification of darkness and evil, who is in the black. Yeah. So you've really got those sort of linear splits. What is really interesting about what some of these guys wrote, and I should actually credit the guy, he's a guy called Kit McFarlane on Pop Matters. He looks at this with a Roland Barthes eye, and he was trying to work out why this match is so emotional. And so he said this, and I'm just going to read it verbatim because it's absolutely bang on. It presented a battle between two legends, each performing at main event level for decades, battling injuries and outlasting many of their peers, and who were forced to, in a sense, step up to prove that not only were they worthy of staying main event attractions, they were also completely worthy of legendary status. From a narrative perspective, the fight could be seen as an increasing drama of desperation and a realization of a kind of iconic mortality. Shawn was and remains one of the greatest performers in WrestleMania history. The Undertaker had an unbroken streak of WrestleMania victories, then 16-0. If anyone was worthy of breaking the streak, it was Shawn Michaels. If anyone was worthy of keeping the streak intact, it was The Undertaker. With such a pedigree, the match wasn't merely about heroes and villains and ethical transgression. Instead, it was, quite simply, about quality. It sounds like heavy work, and it's just not. I mean, it really is just about two men who have learnt so much in the time they've been doing it, who are at the absolute top of their game, maybe not physically, but in their knowledge and understanding of how to work a crowd.
Yeah.
And they have this amazing crossing where their careers are both at their zenith, and they just come across each other on this magical night in front of a crowd in front of whom they can do no wrong. Mm. And it is just... watching it back, you'd never seen it before.
No.
So what did you think?
It was some of the best punching I'd seen in a match, weirdly. And they just, the two men just kept getting better and better, and their careers have just got better and better. And how convincing all of the turnovers were. Every time you would relinquish possession, you think you were going to get a pinfall, you think you were going to get this or that. And every time it turned over, the crowd would get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And I don't think I've ever seen a crowd as hot as this.
No.
And you were part of it, and you can't remember much of it.
I do remember parts of this match, because I remember being excited, and I remember from the get-go, this built and built and built. And to be in a room where it was happening, this match was... It wasn't something that you went back afterwards and went, that was good.
Mm.
I have never seen... I mean, 75,000 people in one place, whether that's a slightly massaged figure or not, that two men who are like specks in the middle of it are doing a dance with their bodies, and that makes 75 people act as one. So there was a bit that I can really remember, which is Undertaker does a tombstone to Shawn Michaels, and he covers him for the pin, sticks his tongue out. It's obviously the end, and Michaels kicks out at two. Yeah. And the entire place lifted as one.
Right.
And hearing the roar of everyone going, "Gah!" It was like the air was sucked out of the room and you were just pulled out of your seat. It was nuts. And the idea that two people can move in a way that makes 75,000 people just, you know, and it's not Hitler. It's not bad. You know, it was just exceptional. Watching this back, you don't watch the great matches very often, oddly. Mm. You know, you tend to sort of, you know, search out things that you think you know less well. Only watching it back was I didn't remember this being half as good as this. Mm. The pace is nuts. You've got Michaels, who is just like the king of emotion. He is having this impossible struggle. But what becomes apparent as the match goes on is there is no way for either man to beat the other.
Mm.
And it's just going to come down to the multiple finishers is one of the first times this happens in a big high profile WWE match. So in Japan, this sort of thing has been going on for years, but this is the first time we've seen people continually kick out of finishers. So you might kick out of one, but then Undertaker gets in with the tombstone, and then Michaels kicks out. And straight afterwards, Michaels hits the super kick, and he goes down. So obviously that's going to be that. No, it's not.
Right.
And this is the first time that we've ever seen, and multiple finishers really happens a lot now. You see it all the time. People expect it. It's become overused. The first time it's deployed here, again, historically, you forget that that's why this match at the time was such a big deal. No one had ever seen anything like it. And it just took it to the next level, that these weren't wrestlers who lost to each other because there was a move done. These are wrestlers who are so good, they could not lose to a move. And it just kept building and building and building. Watching the crowd on this WrestleMania, you see about, it's a weird one where the crowd are really well illuminated and they're really nicely banked.
Mm.
So it's a whole wall of faces behind the ring. And by the time you get to the last 15 minutes of this match, you can watch the crowd as much as anything. And they are like being pulled out of their seat. They are disbelieving. They are in the match. It's like they're wrestling. It's just watching them is amazing. Absolutely incredible. That match is, it's watching, it's just such good quality. it's they were never, ever this good again, because I don't think anyone expected the match to be this good.
Yeah.
And it was also one of those rare matches, and it doesn't happen all the time, where you didn't know who was going to win.
Mm.
If anyone was going to break the streak, it would be Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania. You know, it's absolutely what this Kit McFarlane on Pop Matters said. You know, it is just that Undertaker deserved to have the streak intact, and Shawn Michaels deserved to break it.
But the reverence that you sort of give Shawn Michaels, I perhaps didn't really get until this match, and how much of a servant he's been for our product we've talked about every single week for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, how important he is, because he has... Like last year, he ended Ric Flair's career. Like he's got so many stories in WrestleMania, and this is a beautiful one.
It is, it is. And also, the other thing is, this match made the streak important.
Mm.
So previously, it's a thing, the streak, you know, and there was never any danger of it being broken, and it was just another thing. It allowed the Undertaker to be a semi-main event. This match is so important because it then makes the streak something special.
Yeah.
And the streak becomes, every year from this point on, the main event of WrestleMania.
Right.
It might not be in the last match position, but it is the most important match because it's the streak, the most unique wrestling real record. Nobody will ever come in again and have 20 years of winning at WrestleMania over a quarter of a century period. Mm. Undertaker misses a few WrestleManias. So a quarter of a century and you win each time. No one, very few people, are going to be with the WWE for a quarter of a century, let alone have a career that allows them to do that. This match it's so good that it creates the streak. It makes Michaels into a legend. You know, previously he is a legend, but this match, when he goes in with another legend, how they both lift it, it's just exceptional. It's so good.
And it's a miracle that... it didn't end with The Undertaker literally breaking his fucking neck.
Oh, because my God, yeah.
There is a bit where he... What do you call it? A moonsault? I don't know what it... Like, you just, he leaps...
He does I think you'd call it a tope suicida.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so diving, a suicide dive.
Yeah, or diving over the ropes or through the ropes. Is it over the ropes or over the ropes?
He goes
because he's a big, tall guy. He leaps and Michaels is supposed to throw... Or the cameraman is supposed to get in the way of The Undertaker and break his fall. He barely touches him, and he just lands on his fucking head, and he is out for... Well, he's not out, but he's on the floor going, fuck, for ages.
There is a bit here where, the dive is very, very famous in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's a really famous moment. What I didn't notice is, like, beforehand, to get Michaels on the outside, Michaels does a moonsault off the top turnbuckle to Undertaker on the outside.
Right, yeah.
And Undertaker, as he's coming down, just grabs Michaels and slams him onto the floor.
Yes.
Doesn't protect him in any way.
No, no.
I looked at that and I thought, you shit. You absolute shit. And then he bounces off the rope and I went, it's going to be the dive. Ah, see how you like it, you big brute.
Yeah, I forgot about that, because he does really land really heavily.
He gets instant karma.
He has no.
What? This the cameraman was actually a wrestler.
Yeah.
And the wrestler was Sim Snuka,
right,
who is the son of Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Oh.
And he was in a tag team called Deuce and Domino, who were, you know, SmackDown tag team champions. They were at a period where no one was particularly bothered in the tag team belts in SmackDown. So didn't have a stellar career. But his one job was to catch The Undertaker on that dive. And Michaels, basically, I think it's Shawn Michaels' job was to drag Snuka into The Undertaker.
Mm.
Because why is a cameraman going to be there waiting for The Undertaker to jump on him?
Mm.
So the idea was that Michaels would pull Snuka over and Undertaker would hit him. Undertaker's at a funny angle and Michaels leaves it too long.
Yep.
Sim Snuka is holding a camera over his eyes.
Yeah.
So he's got a limited peripheral vision. And so what happens is he gets pulled in the way. Undertaker comes down like he's fallen out of a building, just onto Sim Snuka, who lands on the camera, which sort of breaks under his back. And you can see Sim Snuka just going, oh, that's it. He's dead. Michaels looks over and the crowd goes silent in this as well. They are just like, that was not good.
No.
When you see it from the reverse side, it just looks like Undertaker just dives. He does a dive into a swimming pool off a board and the swimming pool is empty.
Yeah.
That's essentially what happens. Michael said, you hear the gasp of the people. I was pushing one guy and I didn't actually see the impact. Pushing one guy was actually pulling Sim Snuka into the way. I was pushing one guy and didn't actually see the impact. But I remember looking over and seeing the little indentation in the mat and being obviously concerned. But he was moving, so I figured that was good. Jeez-o. So Sim Snooker, he's famous for being the person who missed the Undertaker when he was supposed to catch him.
Mm.
You watch it back and you realise he was not really responsible for this, wasn't he? Just he was fired within I think 2 months,
right?
But he was never ever on television again after that,
right? Okay.
And I think, you know, internally it would be too much for the Undertaker to go, yeah, I really messed up there. Mm. I think it's more important that you go, this fucking loser who has no right to reply, he ruined that for me. What this then gives you is a thing where you realise this is a special match. So Undertaker gets into the ring before he's counted out. So it goes 9 and he gets in,
yeah,
and the crowd explode.
Mm.
And when is the last time that you saw someone breaking that traditional 7,
mm,
8, and they actually go, he's going to get fucking counted out.
Yeah.
And when he comes in, you go, God, I've never actually seen that work.
Yeah, he pulls down like the ring sort of curtain, or the ring skirt sort of thing, at 9, and I'm, yeah, like, hey, and the referee is taking slight liberties with the timing. I genuinely think, and I don't think he's going to get in it.
He looks in a terrible way. Mm. And then the brilliant thing about that is he gets back into the ring. Mm. Everyone's exploded about that. And the first thing that happens is he then choke slams Michaels. So,
yeah,
you know he's back in it. And you go, oh, well, that's the end.
Mm.
And he covers him, and ooh, it's not the end. We're only just beginning. This match was not supposed to be a classic. So the referee, a guy called Marty Elias, actually spoke about it. He said it was actually only supposed to be 15 minutes long,
mm,
and they were originally supposed to be 3rd on the card, which I think is where
the Royal Rumble, wasn't it? The
women.
Yeah, the women. Yeah.
I think it's the women's Miss WrestleMania Battle, mm, Royale is. They said it was me, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Pat Patterson and Michael Hayes. And Michael Hayes told Shawn and Taker that we were 3rd and only had 15 minutes. Shawn and Taker looked at each other and they gave these puzzled looks. It was something that needed to be changed. It did change, but we didn't get the main event. Now, Michael Hayes was the agent working there and he realised really quickly, he was like, shit, they've been going 15 minutes and I know there's at least 15 minutes worth of stuff they've not got through yet.
Mm.
So he went to Vince McMahon and he said, they're going way over. And Vince said, I don't care, let them go. And everybody else had to follow suit.
Right.
Now, I'm not convinced by that story for the simple reason that they're saying essentially they had an extra half an hour that they weren't allocated. But that half an hour would not have gone on the end of the Triple H match with Randy Orton, which is fucking long.
Yeah.
The last two matches are actually an hour. So they're saying what? Between the John Cena match and the Triple H match, they were going to be what? 45 minutes each.
Yeah.
Bullshit. I don't know why people lie. I don't know why they don't just say, yeah, they were given that time, and boy, didn't they do a great job.
Yes.
It's the best match of all time. It is incredible. Now, the multiple finishes you've never seen before. There is nothing gimmicky about this. There's nothing hackneyed. They don't do crawling to go, can I get the pin?
Mm.
They don't have the referee go, 1, 2, oh, my arm. Mm. They don't, there's nothing. There's nothing sort of hokey or rubbish. It's just two legends trying to beat the other. And it's so pure and brilliant. It's just marvellous.
Taker does get his nipples out though, so because he's aged really well. So I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, he gets that long tongue out as well.
Like, yeah, he loves the tongue. He loves that like tonguey that. Tongue. I'm like, is that part of it? Have you been watching the rugby? What's going on here?
But I'd never actually seen a match before where you keep going. But how was that not the ending?
Yeah,
where are we going?
We're in
a new terrain.
There
here.
Should have been at this point like a voting system for the crowd. Do you want to end WrestleMania right now? Click yes for yes and just end it.
Entirely. I mean, there's another little bit that I was reading,
mm,
that slightly goes against the bit that the referee Marty Elias said, which is they said the writers had a discussion prior to WrestleMania about whether this should be the main event.
Mm.
And the people who won were the Triple H and Randy Orton side.
What
and they
surprise.
Were like, well, we've been running this on Raw and it's, you know, mm, it's our big program. And I think people would want it to, you know, you stupid morons. It's obviously, nobody realised how good this would be. But halfway through, Hurricane Helms, apparently, who was, he must have been a lumberjack in the dark match.
Right.
He was backstage and after the match was over, he just said, I know we don't have a mercy rule in pro wrestling. They said, but we should pull the mercy rule because no one's going to follow that. The mercy rule is in two-team sports. If one team is ridiculously ahead, the mercy rule, you just go, okay, game's over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you don't want to humiliate the other people. That is what happened. They needed the mercy rule after this match. The crowd are just... They are squirming through this.
Mm.
It's watching the crowd as well as watching the match It's just a magical night. I mean, it comes together so well. But watching those two men control that many people with emotion is... I don't know how this is so good. I also don't know why not all wrestling matches are this good. There seems to be no reason as to why they shouldn't.
Well yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just two guys having a fight and you do some moves and you go, oh, didn't pin me. And I don't understand.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I guess like it's like soccer, isn't it? Like the general quality has gone up, but some teams, and I will be checking the Newcastle West Brom score very, very briefly, just underperform sometimes, and it just doesn't work, and just things don't kind of align. You don't have the right management, you don't have the right advice, you don't get the right people. I mean, it's a testament to this show or this wrestling match is there is a bald man in the front row with a Harlequin-style jumper, and he will not sit down.
He will not.
And I barely noticed him. And in any other match, I'd be concentrating on the little bald man with his little glasses.
There's some funny stuff about this, which is in wrestling, you know, you have to pretend you want to win. Well, they are pretending they want to win, but they also want to win. There's a funny thing of, you know, they're pretending they're exhausted, but they are also exhausted.
Yeah.
They're pretending that, you know, they're doing everything they can to beat the other guy, but they are also doing everything they can to beat the other guy.
It's such a
bizarre, weird thing. Shawn Michaels looks at this as being the best match he ever had.
Right.
He said, I look back at things and I can be real critical of myself. There aren't many times I've come out of the ring where I haven't felt like, you know, I could have done something better. I could have changed this or changed that. But that match, that's one I don't know I can say that with.
Smashing.
Jim Ross also, I mean, the amount of wrestling he's covered, he said, one of the greatest gifts I've ever had was to be able to call that match with Cole and Lawler. I thought it was a piece of art. I have never seen a more psychologically compelling match than Shawn and Taker had that night. I had goosebumps. I had tears in my eyes. I was so emotionally wrapped up in that presentation. Shawn Michaels also said, I remember going home after WrestleMania 25 and saying to my wife, that was pretty good. Maybe that should have been my last match. He was already thinking of retirement, obviously, at this point. And we will see Shawn and Taker next year at WrestleMania 26 with Shawn's career at stake. Now, some people say that that is the better of the two matches.
Right.
They are wrong for the simple reason is that this is the better match. it's just magic. No one thought it was going to be that good, and it was so good. I tell you what, the bit that really made me laugh on this is it finally finishes. Everyone is spent. The last thing you want is two more matches. It's the last thing you want.
And we will probably gloss over them, to be quite frank.
It cuts to Evander Holyfield in the crowd. Yes. It says Evander Holyfield, and the commentators, they don't even have the energy to name check him. And they just stare at Evander Holyfield silently putting up the jukes. It says Evander Holyfield underneath, and the commentators are just silent.
Yeah, they're absolutely spent. Like, well, I think Jim Ross, the King goes, or somebody goes, I am spent. He goes, yeah, well, we got two more matches to commentate. Oh,
man, no. I paused it at this point, and honestly, this was so energizing. This match, you think you know it if you're a wrestling fan. You think, oh yeah, you know, I do know that match. It's impossible to know that match. You can watch it, you can know every single move, and you can play it through your head, but until you have it in front of you, you forget just how magic it is. I paused it at that point, and I was like, I fucking love wrestling. And I paused it, and I saw there was an hour left in WrestleMania 25 still to go. And yeah. I was like, how the fuck has this happened? it was tough work.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? In any other situation, you'd be like, all right, fine, it's happening. Like, but yeah. I'm enjoying the fact that Undertaker is currently feuding with a Twitch streamer called Dr. Disrespect. Dr. Disrespect is a man who, I think he's an older streamer, which is quite rare, obviously, in that kind of world. He started on PUBG, Battlegrounds, and then he's moved on to Overwatch, I think. He cheated on his wife and had to spend some time not on stream.
Got you.
Dealing with his problems. Taker interrupted an Overwatch stream of Dr. Disrespect saying, I have no patience for the two-time. WWE is my domain, my yard. Your transgressions will be punished, Dr. Disrespect. You will rest in peace. And then WWE later revealed that the integration with Taker and the two-time Twitch streamer of the year was sponsored by G Fuel, the official energy drink of esports.
I'm JBL. You need to get some G Fuel. Jesus. Man, he's Undertaker's wife, Michelle McCool, who is also in the women's battle, Miss WrestleMania Battle Royale in this WrestleMania.
Right.
She was online today complaining that WWE had done a list of the sort of 45 women pioneers of the women's revolution. And she said, I was not mentioned on there. And she said, you would not believe the grief that I get being Undertaker's wife. She said, you would not believe how hard I've had to fight. It's a bit like, I think that was probably a little bit more of a help than a hindrance. whenever she comes back, when she does occasional sort of like the Royal Rumble appearances and everything, they treat her like she is one of the great ass kickers of all time.
Really?
And let me tell you, in her career, she was not that.
No. Quite anonymous?
Very much so. She actually co-held the Divas Championship with another woman. So that sort of tells you exactly about the level of her ability there. I'm being harsh on her, but it did seem a weird thing when you start sort of saying, you know, listen, you would not believe how people disrespect me being the Undertaker's wife.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
a little
right.
bit like, I don't think anyone disrespects you being Undertaker's wife because he seems very frightening.
Yeah.
Should we quickly race through those last two matches?
Let's pile through them, baby.
Let's let the people go home.
Yeah.
A triple threat match, world champion Edge versus Big Show versus John Cena.
I was confused about what this was all about.
Do you know what? You go from this perfect match and then it's going, okay, now here's a load of soap opera storyline.
Vicky Guerrero smooching Big Show.
After seeing Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, the five-star classic, possibly the best wrestling match of all time, I want to see a match that revolves around the fact that a Big Show has been caught on CCTV French kissing Eddie Guerrero's window. I mean, I tell you what as well, credit to Vicky Guerrero. They never held back on going, we're going to get you to boo her.
Yeah.
And if it didn't feel transgressive enough that you were booing essentially, you know, the widow of someone
when
that you knew and loved, they stick her in a wheelchair to come
out
of it.
What's the wheelchair about?
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I feel uncomfortable booing her anyway. And then you're like, oh, she's got a wheelchair and there's sick puppies that she's trying to raise money for. What are you doing? You've probably never heard her voice before, which is uniquely aggravating.
She's not a Mike's person, is she, I guess?
No. Cena also at one point in the sort of like the preamble to it, he says the line, Vicky, you've got some explaining to do. But for some reason, he sort of goes, I'm going to do this with a bit of pizzazz. And he goes, Vicky, you got some splaining to do.
Oh, yes, he does. I forgot about that.
It comes out of nowhere.
Wow, yeah.
He is mental.
Yeah.
It's a great entrance.
John Cena comes out with 50-odd fake John Cenas.
Once again, I'll tell you how bad my memory is. I watched that last night and I was like, that is brilliant. I have never seen that entrance before.
Because you were probably positioned next to the shitter ones that I imagine were at the back. Because the heights get progressively smaller.
It's really good. So what happens is he comes out with this, what are they called, like when soldiers get married? You know, the guard of honor.
Yeah,
he comes out with those. but it's all just identical John Cena's.
Doing the you can't see me.
When they
the
turn
thing.
And start doing the you can't see me thing, I was like, that's great.
And some of them are laughing at their opposing number, because some of them are doing it quite slowly and respectively.
Yeah.
Respectfully, someone's just going for it. There's approaching wanking, kind of like.
Do you know what? I did write down at least one of them must have photographed themselves jacking off in that Cena costume. I do not trust. Like American men under 30
no.
who are into sports and bodybuilding, that they wouldn't have been jacking it off and sticking it up online and then going out and going, hey, you see me on WrestleMania with a big boner? You know, it's absolutely 100% likely.
How do they find, because the ones at the front actually look quite like John Cena.
They
so
do.
It's quite nicely
there
done.
There are so many of them. It's not like there's 20.
No.
Again, everyone has forgotten about this entrance. When people go, great John Cena entrance,
yeah.
Like where he comes out in the gangster's car or where he drives the hot rod into, you know, bollocks.
Yeah.
The one where there's a million John Cena's, which also hints that he's a bit generic and anyone can be him, which is probably why they don't talk about
I'm
it.
I'm the real one. I'm dressed exactly the same and look exactly the same.
There must be 250. Is that too much? I don't know.
I think there's 50 on each side, 100. I think there's 100.
100, okay.
100 John Cena's.
I was there. I remember it being 250. but it looks absolutely
brilliant.
I really enjoyed it. I would love it if he'd have taken two of them out for dinner. I think that would have been
just wearing the same clothes.
Yeah, all of them going out for dinner, and you know, not going to go into what then.
Well, I've got some more slash fiction.
You have dressed up as Batman.
I've got some coming up. We'll sort of end with that. I think. I just got the feeling that Big Show felt. Restricted that he couldn't do any big slams because Undertaker had used all of them up. Well, I can't do that, can I?
This also seems to be a bit of a thank you to Big Show for last year with Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
Where you sort of go, you did such a great deal for the company there and you worked really hard and you made us all that money and all those pay-per-view buys. I think they put him in the main event here. I don't think this is... I mean, this is one of those matches, well, when it was announced...
It wasn't the main event, though, that's the problem.
No,
well, yeah,
and people were really disappointed when this match came out.
No.
They were a bit like, well, at least give us John Cena versus Edge. Why is Big Show been added to it?
Yeah.
I don't think it makes it any worse. If the Undertaker story about it going over in time is true, then they shaved quite a lot of time off this one. It didn't make it any worse.
Mm.
It was fine. It's just after what you've just seen.
Mm. Watching Edge spear Vicky Guerrero or a grieving widow.
You have had a delicious beef Wellington and then out comes someone going, do a freeze pop? And you're a bit like, yeah, I like freeze pops, but
Not in this context. No.
What about some Campbell's chicken noodle soup? Yeah, I do have
like that. Yeah.
I don't want it after I've had the beef Wellington, if that's all right. Okay. It's a bit like that. Now, Cena comes out, so of course they have to mention that WrestleMania is being broadcast to 100 US Army bases and dozens of Navy warships.
Yeah.
Again, there is no correlation between John Cena and the US military.
He's not even dressed like that anymore.
No. Slaughter this year, Sergeant Slaughter. Very recently, he was, I think, nominated into the Wrestling Observer's Hall of Fame. And one of the wrestling historians did a big profile on him. And one of the things they wanted to do was go, oh, I'll just get the military stuff, you know, because Sergeant Slaughter has always said that he's a drill sergeant. Mm. That's what he did. Anyway, while he was searching for these sort of records and looking through the old things, some of Slaughter's old clippings, he found an article from Baltimore Sun, the Baltimore Sun's Sun magazine in 1985, which had gone through and basically done an expose on Sergeant Slaughter, saying that the US Marine Corps were basically saying there is no record of him serving, and yet he still constantly says he was a drill sergeant, and that's where the gimmick came from. And they said, so we do ask him not to do that. Now, people will say, why does this matter? He's playing Sergeant Slaughter. The big thing that came out from a lot of people was, oh, I suppose you think Undertaker's like, you're going to be really disappointed he's alive.
Yeah.
But they said, well, no, the thing is, like, Sergeant Slaughter is used by the WWE as their military man.
Yeah.
So they send him to things like veterans associations and they send him to memorials and things because he says he served. He hasn't. So someone went through and they just found out loads and loads of things over the times in shoot interviews where he talked specifically about serving in Vietnam.
And the story do
which
not...
he didn't. They do not add up.
No.
So on a shoot interview or a radio show, it was a radio show, Sirius FM's Jim and Sam show, they said, did you really serve in the Marine Corps? And Sergeant Slaughter, Bob Remus, said, got out in 74, went in 68, two tours of Vietnam, yeah. I was basically just infantry, you know, making sure all the grunts don't go AWOL on us, keep them all in line. So they then said to him, were you really messed up when you came back from Vietnam? And he said, Never talked about it much. Back then, we weren't reviewed as returning heroes. There were some bad experiences, things I did that I never really would have done unless I was ordered to do it. He suggested he had regret or PTSD from committing war crimes,
right?
Essentially. He then said that he'd been given the name Sergeant Slaughter when he was a drill sergeant. And someone said to him, did you ever take part in any blanket parties? Which was like the scene in Full Metal Jacket where someone is letting the troop down.
Yeah, the actual, so know, they beat the shit out of them. Yeah,
with I think, socks with soap in. Mm. And Sergeant Slaughter said, yep, yeah, I've been in one. And they said, what did the guy do? And he went, he snuck the Twinkies into the barracks. They made us do it, he said. It's worth saying, the Freedom of Information request found that he had no association whatsoever with the Marines. So there is a funny thing about all of that thing about stolen valor that I sort of joke about John Cena.
Yeah.
Turned out it was the last one you'd expect. It was the one dressed as Sergeant fucking Slaughter. Heartbreaking.
Oh, I love it.
Under normal circumstances, this would be a fine match, this triple threat. Because it's after Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, I view this as the opening match of WrestleMania 26 because the main event is over.
These are the two dark matches of WrestleMania 26.
Yeah. Yeah. John Cena wins.
The 25th anniversary of WrestleMania.
John Cena wins, and he annoyingly reacts as well like it's the culmination of a plan that has brought him no personal pleasure, only a sense of duty and the job well done, which again is that ridiculous military dickheadedness he brings in. I do think he should be prosecuted. We have the Hall of Fame out of the car. That Stone Cold comes out onto a Jeep, and that lasts too long. He drinks a lot of beer on his own.
He drinks a lot of beer, smashes the beer around. He
throws a cooler into the ring. It just never ends. It never ends.
It was good, but I was like, it was some great ATV driving. Like, just really? Kind of like very tidy circle. Yeah. It looked like he was going to go off into some of the lights when he was coming down, but when he did the spin, beautiful.
It's worth saying, actually, you forget this as well because you do watch it on telly. Mm. But when you're there live, there is no extra time. It's not like they go, we have to reset this up and everything. Everything happens while that video is playing of Triple H and Randy Orton.
Yes.
They are stripping all that beer off the ring. And it's just such a well-oiled machine. You'd sort of think, oh, I could probably put on a WrestleMania. I mean, Pete, you arrogant fool.
I'm always saying that, mate.
I know. Right, finally, the main event, the real main event, the match we all talk about, the match that WrestleMania 25 is remembered for.
Yep.
WWE champion Triple H versus Randy Orton. They have already been having this match for 5 years. Mm. This is...
it's so boring, Mark.
It's so boring.
Nothing's happening.
It's so boring.
There's a couple of kick-ins and punch-ins.
I continually stopped watching this, and I had to drag myself back because I know that we're talking about it here. And I actually thought to myself, I don't even remember that. I saw this match live. I don't even remember.
A man who likes hammers versus a man who likes...
It's so bad. And I tell you what, the worst thing is, they don't play it by ear. And the crowd are done. We've seen WrestleMania. We're all great. And Triple H is like, I can give them a 35-minute match that will make them forget that fucking Undertaker Shawn Michaels thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, they are tone deaf as to the reaction they're getting. There's a bit right there in the end sequence is Triple H hits Randy Orton with a sledgehammer to silence. He then starts punching him in the face to silence. He then hits him right over the head really hard in silence.
Yeah.
He does the pedigree and pins him. And obviously that bit was supposed to be building, 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 and it's just flatlined. And the whole match, everyone's just like, this is what the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels match isn't. They're plodding. There's loads of ref bumps. There's use of a weapon. There's not listening to what the audience are doing.
Yeah.
Not timing it. It's a masterclass in how just, you arrogant prick, what were you thinking? Triple H will have argued that this should have been the main event. It's the belt. It's the belt.
Yeah.
You stupid idiot. You've ruined the night. I do remember this as well, as I remember this being very deflating. Mm. And when we were there, people were literally like, oh, God, you know, still, it won't be long now.
Are you allowed to drink at WrestleMania?
Yes.
That point, you probably would have been a bit hammered. That's what I would have been.
I remember, because it's like Texas as well, it was hot. So, you know that night heat?
Yeah.
That's the worst sort of heat, kid. Yeah. That's the worst heat.
And I do like Lone Star Lager, but it's not satisfying.
No.
You've got to drink a lot of them to get a buzz on.
I tell you what, the other thing is, it's hot there. And by that time of night, people have also eaten. So they've eaten like, and American stadium food is like ours, but bigger.
Yeah.
And it just, do you know what it smells of? It smells of hot spilt beer over the last 6 hours and fucking Americans fart. And it's just like, this is, again, what, you know, you get out into the air and you're just like, oh, God, that's amazing. God. But then when you're like, you get into a car to go back or onto the bus, you're like, oh, my clothes stink of farts and popcorn. It's absolutely disgusting. I had no notes on this match because I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see it then. I don't want to see it now.
It's look, watch it. If you want to watch it yourselves. This is the first match we've ever done that. Just look, he said, look, no.
Do you know,
no,
this
no.
is this is
there's
the
been
first
longer
match.
WrestleManias, there's been certainly shorter WrestleManias, but this was just too much.
This is the first match that I almost didn't finish, and I had to go back, and I went back about 18 hours later.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I better watch it. And I again, it took me 4 hours to get, and I didn't watch the middle bit. I kept on going forward. It stinks. And I think it's one saving grace is when it's over, you can see Triple H is in a fucking foul mood.
Mm.
He's got a real sort of funk on. And you can, you know, that was entirely his own fault.
Don't fuck yourself like that. How it should have ended was how this little story I got off the internet. Randy Orton's, I'm going to call the story Randy Orton's Point of View, because I won't name which slash fiction writer wrote this online, but this is from Randy Orton's Point of View. I was standing in the middle of the ring. I just won a match against Kurt by breaking the angle lock and doing an RKO on him. My hand is raised in the air. I see that lights went out. I'm so confused right now. I start pasting the ring until I hear a ding. No, no, it can't be. He can't be here. It can't be him. I start to squirm as I felt it. It's the Undertaker. I start to squirm. I felt his hand hit me in my upper thigh. I yelp in pain, feeling it tingle. I feel another hit in the same place. I start to hit him in the side. Stop, I'm a grown man. You can't do this. Stop. I felt a slap to my ass. This is in the locker room. I felt a slap to my ass. I dropped my head and groaned in pain and pleasure. What's wrong, boy? Getting it turned on? I shake my head. No, until he hit me, make me moan and cover my mouth, shock of what I did. You better stop before I say or do something I regret. I say, why? You got a kink I don't know of? He says. He hits me again. Daddy! I moan, I ain't your dad, boy. I blush. I know that, damn it, but my dad spanked me when I was young. Ugh. He sits me up, so I'm sitting. I stare at him, blushing. I see him smirk down at me. I shook my head, realising, I'm not a slut. I need to be Dominic. I think that's how you spell it. I think they mean domineering.
I hope so, otherwise Dominic is Rey Mysterio's son. And at the time this is written, it would be absolutely fucking lethally illegal.
I flip us over, and so now I'm on top. We just stare at each other. I snap out of it and kissed him. I licked his bottom lip. All I get is a growl. So I bit his lip, making it bleed, and open his mouth. I shove my tongue in his throat, claiming every spot my tongue touch. I stop thrusting into him when I hear the door open. That's when I finally notice we're in the very back of the locker room. I see Jim Ross standing there. Wide-eyed.
No, please don't involve him. That is going too far.
He smirks. Oh, look who we have here. The Undertaker, the dead man, getting fucked by Randy Orton. I see Jim look from him to me and say, we can use this against him, Randy. We can finally get that fame that we deserve. Fame? Fame. Got to be fame, innit?
Family? Are they married?
Anyway, they finish up. It cum is everywhere. I don't want to sound desperate or some shit like that, but I put my head down. What, Randy? I hear him say, I take a breath and I say, I want to see you again, Undertaker. I don't want this to be a one-time thing. I feel my face heating up because I know I'll probably fuck up. Randy, this isn't the last time you're going to see me, and this ain't the last time we do this. Trust me, boy. I pull away. We hear a knock. Randy, you're up against The Undertaker in 10. Better get clean, boy. Don't need to walk out there with cum dripping down you. I will. He smirks. He kisses me one more time, saying three words I wanted to hear since I met him. I love you, Randall. I smiled. Love you too, Mark.
Insider.
Yeah. Damn, I gotta clean this shit. And I said out loud, and then I thought to myself, huh, Randy Orton and The Undertaker never saw that coming. I smiled to myself, the end. Thank you.
I still think that I should go last at WrestleMania. Wrestle me, Pete!
Wrestle me, Mark!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.